All right, welcome to this episode of the Hyperfast Agent Show. We've got a great guest today, nearly two decades of experience in the real estate industry. We're going to get into some really great topics, 2008 housing market versus right now, you know, team versus not team, some really good stuff. Welcome to the show, Robert Bradshaw. Welcome, Robert. How are you doing today?
Pretty good.
Wow. Why don't you give our folks out there listening on the podcast channels, watching on YouTube, give them a little bit of background of who you are, how you got into real estate, and what you're up to these days.
Well, I grew up around here, Northern Virginia. Went to school in Florida for a couple of years, and later on thought about getting into real estate. And a friend of mine I grew up with, his mom was starting a team, so I figured come up here, join the team. That was 2003, and here I am.
A little closer. All right, so 2003 you started, so you were around when the boom happened, early 2000s. Like, I mean, it was nuts in Northern Virginia, D.C., close in Maryland, right?
Yeah,
what was the market like then?
It was pretty wild. I mean, everyone who wanted to could buy a house. A lot of subprime loans being used for owner-occupants.
What's subprime? Because we probably got a lot of listeners who are not alive, or they're probably alive during that time, but not watching real estate, right? So what is subprime?
Well, you got A, B, and C paper, what's referred to in the mortgage industry, and you know, you just, people maybe that couldn't get A paper, maybe had a lower credit score. The mortgage industry wasn't as regulated as it is now. And so people were, my understanding, pushed into loans they shouldn't be using to buy a home to live in. And a lot of predatory lending went on that back then. And I think that's all most of been shored up from what I know.
Yeah, I wasn't in real estate as a professional back then. I'd already been buying and selling homes, so I got to see it from that end. And to me, that scene in The Big Short, the movie The Big Short, that kind of explains it best, is when the guy's at the strip club and the stripper, you know, tells him that you know, she owns five or six homes, and he only thought she had one adjustable rate, the arm, and she's like, well, what about all six? And she's like, what do you know, the guy's like, what do you mean? I we're just talking one house here. And she's like, no, I own six. And you know, that's kind of how it was back then. Anyone could just state an income, state assets. There wasn't much verification. It's not like that today with getting a loan, is it?
No, not at all. I mean, today, you know, they've gotten a little bit looser as far as credit scores. You know, a lot of loans, you still have to qualify with your work history, you know, income, pay stubs, tax returns. I know the jumbo self-employed lending market's a little challenging sometimes, I think, depending on your loan balance, how much equity you have in. But, you know, there's a lot of loan products out there for everyone. But as far as the income and work history is concerned, they're still checking all those. I mean, that's still play.
So it's a lot tougher, especially if you're self-employed or commission-based, as a lot of real estate professionals, you know, have experience. There's a lot more scrutiny. I think that's a major difference between this time and last time. The other thing I think that's a lot different is in 05, 06, 07, if you look at the graphs, we actually built more homes every year than we needed.
Yeah.
And since then, since 2008, every year we've built less homes than we needed. It's been, you know, 13 years of undersupply. A lot of reasons for that. You know, small, medium-sized builders got wiped out. Some of them didn't come back. And collectively, they of course, make a lot of homes. Not any one of them, but you know, if there's hundreds of them, thousands of them, if a lot of them are gone, well, that's a lot of homes not being built.
Sure.
Right? So there's less of them. It's harder for them to get loans. You know, the spec loan world is very, very hard to get. You know, that's something that our team's been pretty good at being able to get on the development side, but it's harder for them to get the loans. You know, the investors have less risk appetite for it than they did back then. Mm-hmm. And now you throw on top of that all of these COVID restrictions, manufacturing is down, you know, windows, lumber, appliances, everything is longer to get, more expensive to get. So I think last year, depending on whose estimate you read, we built 1.5 million to 2.5 million less homes than we actually needed. So that's a huge undersupply to work through.
Yeah. I think, you know, with COVID, a lot of things got put on the back burner, and then there was a segment of the market, buyers and sellers, that held back, and everything's kind of jumping back in at the same time. So I think that's why you're seeing a lot of supply strain constraints. Factory workers, you know, behind. I heard some refrigerator makers can't even get metal to make refrigerators. Appliances are 4 to 5 months out. Clients asking me, should I build a home now? I'm like, well, lumber's up 300%, if not going higher, so take that into account. Delays, so your 8-month project might be a year and a half, you know, 14 months. So it's a challenging, interesting, to say the least, market. Never seen like anything like this before. Not even 2005 was like this.
Yeah, well, where do you think it goes from here? Do you think builders are going to be able to ramp up? You know, are we going to get more lumber, or is this just kind of, you know, who knows?
Probably not the best person to ask on the lumber, but my research reaching out to builders out loud in particular, there's developments they haven't released yet where they have waiting lists up to 4,500 people in some cases, which I had trouble believing. I had to confirm on that it wasn't a typo.
4,500? Yeah. 4,500 people
that was
waiting?
A development out in,
How big is the community? Like 200 homes?
That's the question. He said no. He said an unprecedented amount of demand. You know, a waiting list of 60 and then 14 lots remaining. And they're just delaying the releases, mainly so prices can rise as they release them. So I think even builders, I don't even think they've seen this before in their lifetimes. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, I mean, we have a deal, a land deal in Maryland under contract. And the builder there wants to push it back and pay a six-figure
really
non-refundable extension fee just to do that. So I didn't get into much of the why, but perhaps it's just pushing it back to wait for the rise in prices.
Hey, hold that thought for a minute. Do you want to take your real estate business to the next level? If you do, there's no reason to go it alone. Learn from people who've been where you want to go. Carrie and I have sold billions of dollars in real estate. We've netted over seven figures for 7 years in a row now. And we want to see if you would be a good fit to work for us. We don't work with a lot of people, but we want to give you a chance to get on a free strategy call to see if we can help you get your business to the next level. Go to hyperfastcoach.com and apply for your discovery session today. Again, that's hyperfastcoach.com.
Where are you seeing the most interesting trends in your business? Where are you seeing the toughest time for buyers? Like what buyer clients of yours right now? Just in general, not like names, but like, you know, is it the first time home buyer, the move up buyer, a certain area? Where are you seeing the most challenges, or is it all across the board?
I would say, first time home buyers are having, can have a challenge. Especially with no one having contingencies when you're competing. You know, some first-time home buyers are scraping together for their down payments and their closing costs, and the thought of not having an appraisal contingency and covering the difference of a delta of low appraisal that could potentially happen doesn't really sit well with anyone, for that matter, but for them, not even having the money, it's not even a possibility. So that can be really challenging. There's ways to mitigate that risk in your offers, but you know, if you got people putting down larger down payments, quick settlements they can't do with like an FHA or something, it's tough. It's a tough market. Like I said, I've never seen anything like this.
Are you seeing a lot of low appraisals come in, or are the appraisers kind of understanding where the market's at and taking into consideration multiple offers.
In my experience, I've had some low appraisals. I've heard about some low appraisals. I think they are taking into consideration where the market's headed. Again, not every appraiser, like agents, there's always good appraisers, bad appraisers. So it just depends, you know. I mean, we pretty much kind of know if it's going to be low or not by looking at the comps, because you're looking at the same things we are. And that way you can mitigate your risk with your client. You know, it looks like it could be low, this amount. I've never seen a price increase this quickly before. So that's always a thought when you're writing an offer, competing, going way over.
Are you seeing it suburbs, city, single families, townhouses, condos? Like, are they all the same, or is it one different?
The only market I've noticed, and I could be wrong, maybe it's a few buildings I noticed, but is the high-rise one bedrooms seem to be lagging.
Right.
Even in buildings you couldn't keep a unit on for 2 hours, like 4 or 5 months ago. Now the one bedroom market was saturated.
So these are like large buildings, 100, 200 yeah. unit. Yeah, I think work from home, school at home, play at home, like people want more than a one bedroom. So if there is any spot where there's maybe opportunity for a first time home buyer, I mean, that's probably it. And that's probably why.
Absolutely. In the rental market, I've never seen slower before.
Really?
But interestingly, has started to get an uptick from what I can tell, renting out a place recently. So
there's more units available to rent.
A lot more.
Why do you think that is?
People buying. You know? That coupled with COVID, maybe employers not bringing in people like they used to over the past year. That I would anticipate should change soon. We'll see, but mainly those two reasons. I mean, if rates are so good, I mean, there's so much work moving in town from the tech industry, the West Coast people, so.
What are you doing to help your buyers? I'm sure it's frustrating for them. I'm sure it's a challenge for them. What specifically do you do up front, that first meeting, to set expectations, to get them familiar with the market, to get them familiar with the contract? What are you doing in that?
Hey, hold that thought for a minute. Do you have a client that needs to buy or sell a home in the DMV area? Then why not trust the highest selling team in the DMV, the Carrie Scholl team? We've helped thousands of buyers and sellers and would love to help your clients. And we guarantee we will save them time, money, and stress throughout the process, and they will be so grateful that you referred them to us. Go to carrieschull.com to learn more. Again, that's carrieschull.com to learn more about sending us your clients that need to buy or sell a home in the DMV area. That's carrieschull.com.
Well, we do a needs analysis. We go over how our team works, you know, and all the advantages, things we do differently, how much training we do on a weekly basis to get our clients ahead of the competition. So one thing I noticed here is the training, it couldn't be any better, and it's always going on. So you're always sharpening the axe, if you will. But you know, tailoring, explaining the process for one, for a first-time home buyer, but you know, all the extra things we do, like a priority access program, to some inventory we have, and then also the extra things we do as far as finding off markets, you know, without just waiting for the next home to come on, we go search for them to find something. Maybe we can set up a transaction for a seller using, you know, our artificial intelligence and big data analytics we have here, just to target homes that could work for them without having them go on the market.
How long is it taking most buyers when they have that initial meeting to actually find a place and get it under contract?
Oh, it's all different. I mean, we've got people a year out. There's some people ready to go right at the moment. I'd say that's it's always different. You know, most people hit us within 3 to 6 months, if not sooner.
So you've just to recap, I don't think we mentioned before, you've been on our team here, the Carrie Scholl team, for how long now? Like about
year and 2 months, year and 3 months.
And what was that transition like, and how has it been different, for better or for worse, than previous real estate experience?
The training was, I probably learned more in training as far as lead conversion and all the way we do things in like a month than I had in 16 years. So that was really eye-opening. I was really floored how some of the newer, younger agents, how good they were coming on board here when they would train us in these classes when we came on. And I was thinking they'd been an agent for a long time. I'm like, oh, I've had my agent, my license 6 months. So it was pretty, I was really impressed from the start, the way things were run here. So, I was at a good sized team. Like I said, someone I grew up with, some other started the team. I was happy there for a long, long time, but it's time for a change. I left on good terms there. I still talk to them every once in a while. But it was just kind of like a newer, the way things are done here is just like kind of like the broker of the future. Things are just done a little differently in a better way here.
All right, well, before we wrap up today, I always end with a hyper fast round. If you're ready for some quick questions and answers. All right, what's your biggest piece of advice to a new real estate agent?
Work all your sphere of influence as best you can and learn as much as you can on lead conversion.
All right, what about an experienced agent?
Just keep up with the technology. Don't get set in your old ways.
What's been the biggest challenge you've had in business, and how did you overcome it, or what did you learn from it?
Staying organized and focused. A lot of tools in the toolbox here we have to utilize to help our clients that much more. And just time has been a challenge. Wife and two kids, all that goes on with that, with this job, just full force ahead. It's a challenge juggling all that.
All right, when you're not selling homes, what would we find you doing?
Barbecuing in the backyard, hanging out with my kids and wife. Maybe mixing some music together late at night, listening to my car.
All right, last question. Where do you see yourself 10 years from now?
Hopefully retired. I doubt it. In Florida, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. I'll still be working. My kids, hopefully graduating high school.
All right, well, thank you for your time here on the HyperFast show today. If people want to reach out to you about buying or selling a home, or just connect with you on social media, what are some of the ways they can do that?
Email me, robertbradshaw@carryshaw.com.
All right, well, thanks for being on the show, Robert. For everyone out there listening, watching, thank you for tuning in. Give us some feedback, the good, the bad, the ugly. Hit that thumbs up, share it with someone that you think could benefit. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the HyperFast Show. Subscribe to us if you want to make sure you get the latest and greatest HyperFast shows. And remember, we love reviews. Reviews help us bring better and better guests, improve our shows, and give us the good, the bad, and the ugly. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you next time.